Yashoda bhiyo lokanatha vamanam param Controller who possesses an eternal form of blissful knowledge, whose glistening earrings swing to and fro, who manifested himself in Gokula, who stole the butter that the gopis kept hanging from the rafters of their storerooms, and who then quickly jumped up and ran in retreat in fear of Mother Yashoda, but was ultimately caught. To that Supreme Lord Sri Damodar, I offer my humble obeisances.
Upon seeing his mother's whipping stick, he cried and rubbed his eyes again and again with his two lotus hands. His eyes were fearful and his breathing quick, and as Mother Yashoda bound his belly with ropes, he shivered in fright and his pearl necklace shook. To this Supreme Lord Sri Damodar, who is bound with his devotee's love, I offer my humble obeisances.
Those super excellent times of Lord Sri Krishna's baby who drowned the inhabitants of Gokula in pools of ecstasy, to the devotees who are attracted only to his majestic aspects of Narayana in Vaikuntha, the Lord herein reveals, I am conquered and overwhelmed by pure love and devotion. To the Supreme Lord Damodara, my obeisance is hundreds and hundreds of times.
O Lord, although you are able to give all kinds of benedictions, I do not pray to you for liberation, nor eternal life in Vaikuntha, nor any other boon. My only prayer is that your childhood pastimes may constantly appear in my mind. O Lord, I do not even want to know your feature as Paramatma. I simply wish that your childhood pastimes may ever be enacted in my heart.
O Lord, the cheeks of your blackish lotus face, which is encircled by locks of curling hair, have become reddened like bimba fruit due to Mother Yasoda's kisses. What more can I describe than this? Millions of opulences are of no use to me, but may this vision constantly remain in my mind.
O unlimited Vishnu, O Master, O Lord, be pleased upon me. I am drowning in an ocean of sorrow and am almost like a dead man. Please shower the rain of mercy on me. Uplift me and protect me with your nectarian vision.
O Lord Damodar, in your form as a baby, Mother Yashoda bound you to a grinding stone with rope for tying cows. You then freed the sons of Kubera, Manigriva and Nalakubra, who were cursed to stand as trees, and you gave them the chance to become your devotees. Please bless me in the same way. I have no desire for liberation into your effulgence.
O Lord, the entire universe is created by Lord Brahma, who was born from your abdomen, which was bound with rope by Mother Yashoda. To this rope I offer my humble obeisances. I offer my obeisances to your most beloved Radharani and to your unlimited pastimes.
John.
Kishore, Kishore, Kidai. Now you got to put it forward. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Gopi Janna Balaba Girivara Dari. Gopi Janna Balaba Girivara Dari. Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana Jamuna Tiravana Chari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari. Gopijana Bala Bagiri Varadari. Yashoda Nandana Braja Janaranjana. Oh. Yamuna Tira Banachari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Radha Madhava Astasaki ki jai. Shishi Adbhuta Mandir ki jai. Narayanam Namaskrityam. Naram Chaiva Narottamam. Devim Sarasvatim Vyasam. Tato Jayam Mudirayat. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Srimad Bhagavatam. Some temples, India, they offer aarti before to the Bhagavatam before they read it and stuff. You know? So this is Canto 8, all the different manus. And this is Mohini Murti bewilders Lord Shiva. And text number 9 and 10 are connected. There's no purport to text number 9, so I guess I'll just read it here. Twam brahma ke chira vayanti uta dharman ake ake param sarasata purusham paresham anye vayanti sarvashakti utam param twam kechin mahapurusham abhayam atmatantram. Lord Shiva says, those who are known as the impersonalist Vedantists regard you as the impersonal Brahman. Others, known as the Mimamsaka philosophers, regard you as religion, probably Dharma. Yeah. The Sankhya, because they think that, you know, if you just follow the rules and regulations, automatically God has to give you the results. You know, so you don't have to worship God separately. This is what Krishna was arguing against, or arguing with, for Nanda Maharaj. Regard you as religion. The Sankhya philosophers regard you as the transcendental person who is beyond Prakriti and Purusha, and who is the controller of even the demigods. Okay, this is like, I guess, the Sankhya followers who are following Lord Kapila, right? Devahuti Putra. There's another Kapila, which is mentioned a lot, who's Anishwara Kapila, the atheist, Anishwara. And he was supposed to have occurred like 50 BC or something. And a lot of what Western scholars and philosophers consider Sankhya, they take from him. Okay. The followers of the codes of devotional service, known as the Pancharatras, which is us, regard you as being endowed with 9 different potencies. And the Patanjali philosophers, okay, the followers of Patanjali Muni, which comes down as all the, you know, Hatha Yoga and all these things, regard you as the supreme independent personality of Godhead, who has no equal or superior. Okay, yeah. Now these are what? These are the Sad Darshan. You know these? Sad Darshan? You heard this? No. It'll keep showing up again and again in Prabhupada's books. And somehow or other, they consider that in Indian philosophy there's 6 major viewpoints, darshans, like that, you know. And one is, Vedanta, another one is Yoga, another one is Mimamsa, and then ours, which is Vedanta or whatever, you know, like that. Maybe some mixture here. And the Prabhupada talks about them. So I asked Radhika Raman, when did they occur? Because some of them, like the atheistic Kapila guy, is only 50 BC, so they're not a part actually of the Vedas, But it's just, you find it, you know, everybody's talking about Sardarshan. Do you know Sardarshan? Yeah. So probably mentions them like that, you know. Okay. So here she was describing these. Okay. Then he says, Naham paraya rishayo namarichi mukya. Naham paraya rishayo namurti marimukya. Naham paraya rishayo namarichi mukya. Jananti yad virachitam kalu sattva sarga. Yan maya ya moshita chetasa isha daitya. Marta daya kemuta sashvada badra vritta. Bolie. Naham paraya rishayo namarichi mukya. Jananti yad virachitam kalu sattva sarga. Yan maya ya morsita chaita na isha daitya. Marcha daya kemuta sashvara bhadra vritta. Naham paraya risaya namarichi mukya. Jananti yad virachitam kalu sattva sarga. Yan maya ya mushita cheta sa isha daitya. Marcha daya kemuta sarsvara bhadra vritta. Naham paraya rishaya namarichi mukya. Jananti yad virichitam kalu sattva sarga. Yan maya ya mushita cheta sa isha daidya. Madhyadaya kemuta sasvada bhadra vritta. Ladies? Naham paraya rishayo namarichi mukya.
Neither.
Aham.
I.
Lord Shiva. You know, Parayahu, that personality who lives for millions and millions of years, Lord Brahma. Ah, so here's another name for Lord Brahma, Parayahu, like Ayurveda. Ayurveda, yeah. Ayur means longevity. Rishayaha, the seven rishis of the seven planets. Na, nor. Marichi Mukyaha, headed by Marichi Rishi. Janati, no. Yat, by whom? The Supreme Lord. Vidachitam, this universe which has been created. Kalu, indeed. Satvasargaha, although born in the mode of material goodness. Yatmayaya, by the influence of whose energy. Mushita Chetasaha, their hearts are bewildered. Isha, O my Lord. Daitya, this is the demons. Marcha Adayaha, the human beings and others. Kim Uta, what to speak of. Sashvat, always. Abhadra Vritaha, influenced by the base qualities of material nature. Well, my Lord, I, who am considered the best of the demigods, and Lord Brahma, and the great rishis, headed by Marichi, are born of the mode of goodness. Nonetheless, we are bewildered by your illusory energy and cannot understand what this creation is. Aside from us, what is to be said of others, like the demons and human beings who are in the base modes of material nature? Rajagun, Tamagun, how will they know you? Okay, yeah, it's a pretty good comment. Lord Shiva is saying that he's, you know, the mode of goodness, great personality, and they can't figure out who you are. It's a very common statement by Brahma, by everybody, again and again. Okay, yeah. Purport. Now, this kind of continues on from the previous verse, which is talking about all these different philosophers. Factually speaking, even those who are situated in the material mode of goodness cannot understand the position of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. What then is to be said of those who are situated in Rajagun and Tamagun, the base qualities of material nature? How can we even imagine the Supreme Personality of Godhead? There are so many philosophers trying to understand the absolute truth, right? Because if we don't have the absolute truth, we say, oh, this is true, but well, it depends on this. And if that's not true, then this is not true, and it'll be like that. Well, okay, we got this, but it depends on that. If that's like this, it'll be like that. Trying to find something which is not dependent upon something which is dependent upon something which may not happen. Okay? Yeah. Yeah, where is it here? Okay, yeah. But since they are situated in the base qualities of material nature and are addicted to so many bad habits like drinking, meat-eating, illicit sex, and gambling. How can they conceive of the Supreme Personality of Godhead? For them, it is impossible. Imagine probably dictating this. Yeah. What is? I guess I don't know if they still have the tapes or not. For the present day, the Pancharatrika Vidhi, as enunciated by Narada Muni, is the only hope. So you know this? You're already on the eighth canto, so you should know all these things, right? You've already read seven cantos. Pancharatrika Vidhi? Yeah, no. Narada Muni, I think it's Ratri means night. So during five nights, Narada Muni, Lord Narayan spoke this to Narada Muni or something, you know? And there he describes the whole process of deity worship and how to understand God. I think he describes the goal and everything else like that, but he's especially describing the process. And then Sanatana Goswami takes this and makes it into modern, you know, practical thing in a book, Hari Bhakti Vilas, like that, so on. Yeah. And so all of our deity worship and our festivals and tilak, all this stuff comes from the Hari Bhakti Vilas, like that. Yeah. So we don't follow the Vedic system of worshiping the deities and this kind of thing. It's very sophisticated, you know. But we follow this other process, the Panchratriki system. Yeah. Okay. And that's the only possible. For the present day, the Panchratriki Vidhi, as enunciated by Narada Muni, is the only hope. Okay. So forget Patanjali, forget the Mimamsa philosophers. Srila Rupa Goswami, therefore, has quoted the following verse from the Brahma Yamala. Shruti Smriti Puranadi Pancharatra Vidim Vina Aikantiki Harer Bhaktir Utpat Tayaiva Kalpate. Translation. Devotional service of the Lord that ignores the authorized Vedic literatures like the Upanishads, Puranas, and Narada Pancharatra is simply an unnecessary disturbance in society. Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu 12101. Those who are very advanced in knowledge and are situated in the mode of goodness follow the Vedic instructions of Shruti and Smriti. Wow, those who are very much advanced in knowledge. And other religious scriptures, including the Panchratriki Vidhi. Without understanding the Supreme Personality of Godhead in this way, one only creates a disturbance. In this Kali Yuga, in this age of Kali, so many gurus have sprung up, okay? And because they do not refer to the Shruti Smriti Puranadi Pancharatrika Vidhi, they are creating a great disturbance in the world in regard to understanding the absolute truth. However, those who follow the Panchatriki Vidhi under the guidance of a proper spiritual master can understand the absolute truth. You know, it is said, Pancharatrasya Kritsnasya Vaktatu Bhagavan Swayam. The Pancharatra system is spoken by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, just like Bhagavad Gita. Vasudeva Sharana Vidur Anjasaiva. The truth can be understood only by one who has taken shelter at the lotus feet of Vasudev. What does Vasudev mean? Huh? Okay. But what does Vasudev mean then? Yeah. He probably says he who resides everywhere, like that. Yeah, the omnipresent one. You know, so still kind of, you know, impersonal, you know, like that. So, okay. Then after this, probably gives all these citations. I guess Bhaktisiddhanta Krishna, Bahunam Jamanam Ante, Gyanavam Mam Prapajante, Vasudeva, Sarvam, Iti. Samahatma Sadurlabaha. This is quoted two times in Upadeshamrita. Yeah. After many, many births, Bahunam Janma, he who is actually in knowledge, you know, Gyanavan, Bhagavan, Gyanavan, actually in knowledge surrenders unto me, knowing me to be the cause of all causes and all that is. Such a great soul is very rare. So this is somebody who's a Gyani, you know, a very smart person like Socrates or Confucius, you know, or Solomon for a long time, you know, and then they realize, yeah, behind everything there's a person like that. He's an omnipresent one. They surrender to Vasudev. Okay. Only Bhagavad Gita 7:19. Only those who have surrendered to the lotus feet of Vasudev can understand the absolute truth. And then Bhagavatam 1:27. Vasudeva Bhagavati Bhakti Yoga Prayojitaha Janayatya Suvairagyam Gyanam Chayara Hoitukam. By rendering devotional service unto the Personality of Godhead, Sudha Goswami tells the sages, Sri Krishna, one immediately acquires causeless knowledge and detachment, Gyanam Vairagya. Right? So if you got some devotional service, do it. Yeah? Do it. Even though it doesn't matter, maybe I can do this, I can do that. Jayananda was always saying, just find some service. It doesn't have to be part of a big program for success or anything. Just do something, clean something or something. That's the best thing to do. Yeah? And of course, what we're doing also is, you know, cultivating jnana can also be service, right? Yeah. Not just like physical body. And being renounced, Arjuna had that problem because he couldn't understand that engaging in the battle, you know, fighting for a kingdom was actually service to Krishna. Oh, okay. Yeah. Yeah. So these two things are necessary. And if you haven't gotten any service, which is really strange, you know, Prabhupada says, you can always, if you haven't got any service, you can always clean, right? He said the material world is always dirty. Like you can always find it. Can go out in the street, clean the sidewalk, head on up the street there, you know, okay, yeah. These Hare Krishnas, they're cleaning fools, like that. They're worshiping fools, yeah. Yeah, so you can always get some service, yeah. And if you have that, then automatically you'll become a wise person and you'll become detached, you know, with that, okay. Yeah. On the other hand, if you don't have anything, okay, then in the beginning, jnana and vairagya may be good to get you in a position where you can get devotional service like that. Yeah, so on. Yeah, but ultimately, devotional service is the thing. We're proving that here. More citations. Therefore, Vasudeva Bhagavan Sri Krishna personally teaches in Bhagavad Gita, 1866, Sarva Dharman Paritya Jaya Mamekam Sharanam Vraja. Okay, and also 1855, Bhakti Mama Bijanati Yavanyas Chasmi Tatvataha. One can understand the personality, the Supreme Personality, as he is only by devotional service. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is not properly understood, even by Lord Shiva or Lord Brahma, what to speak of others. But it can be understood by the process of Bhakti Yoga. Maya Sakta Mana Partha Yogam Yunjam Marashrayaha Asangshayam Samagramam Yatajnyasyasi Tatshrinu. Bhagavad Gita 7.1. If one practices Bhakti Yoga by taking shelter of Vasudeva Krishna, simply by hearing Vasudeva speak about himself, one can understand everything about him. Indeed, one can understand him completely. Samagram. Okay. Any questions or comments? Yes, sir. You have to quote 5 different Vedas now to support you. Yeah.
Forgive me if I can't formulate it properly, because
that's half the problem. No, if you state the question properly, usually the answer is obvious. You know. No.
So when we hear this verse, Shruti Shruti Purana Adi, cultivating knowledge. Otherwise, if you don't have knowledge, then you're a disturbance, because yeah. It's usually speculation. But we see so many pastimes, like for example, we may have knowledge, but we see from, for example, I'm thinking of chapter 13, verse 8 through 12 of Gita. It basically, we think of knowledge as information, but according to this series of verses, knowledge really means to cultivate transformation. It begins with humility. And also that verse, Yasyasti Bhatir Bhagavatiya Kinchana Sarve Gunais Tatra Samaste Suraha. So how do we kind of, in our study of Krishna consciousness, you know, we may have a lot of knowledge, but when the test comes, you were mentioning like a week ago, when the test comes, we usually fail. All the knowledge goes out the window. So how, what's more important, to go cultivate these qualities or... Because if you ask any of us, including me, do you know this, I'm like, no, I don't know that. But when we study scripture, how important is it to, what's more important basically, qualities or information, or how do we balance that? Okay. How do we balance that basically?
Okay. So. Yeah. It's actually kind of a complicated question. And that's why we have so many texts. And that's why we're talking about all the way in the eighth canto, we're still talking about it. Because it's a little bit confusing like that and stuff. You know? Yeah. But as we get closer and closer to Krishna, and you fall in love with Krishna, then everything becomes very obvious, you know, because we love Krishna. And that means you want Krishna to be happy. So then, automatically, Radharani refuses to know. Radharani refuses to grow. So she's stuck at 16 years old, you know, her whole life. Yeah. And also, she doesn't, you know more than she needs to know, right? Just to make Krishna happy. Yeah, yeah. So that becomes, that's the standard. And without that, you can't understand what's going on. Yeah. Everything is designed for Krishna's happiness by Krishna. He's an autocrat. Krishna incarnated in Vrindavan. He created an empire of different loving exchanges and crowned himself the undisputed king of the whole thing. Everybody should love me, you know, my mother, my father, my friends, my kids, you know, my girlfriends. Okay. And then it becomes obvious, you know, how much knowledge we need. How much, because knowledge, again, in the modern world, it's the whole point. The Bhagavad Gita is trying to explain what is knowledge. Those verses 8 through 12 are talking about the process of acquiring knowledge. It said this is knowledge, but actually in the purport of this is, you know, and the first thing for acquiring knowledge is humility. Yeah, which is the last thing they teach you in college, if they ever teach it at all, you know. Yeah, yeah, yeah. But all these big people like Newton and everybody else, they're all saying this is, how are you going to learn anything if you already know everything? Okay? Yeah, yeah. So some humble attitude, you know, then you're open to new stuff. You know? Yeah. And through the list, it's describing all these different ways of acquiring knowledge, approaching a bona fide spiritual master, becoming detached. Then it says, janma mritya jaravyadi dukkadoshanu darshanam. One should be very carefully conscious of birth, death, disease, and old age. So that's kind of the basic impetus for knowledge. We're all going to die. Okay, yeah. Yeah, before that, we're going to get sick. You know, yeah, yeah. One guy, what is it? Life is a female dog. You got another word for it there. Life is a nasty female dog. Yeah, okay. Female dogs have bad reputation in many languages, even Spanish. Yeah, okay. Life is a blankety blank, and then you die. It's a common phrase. Like, life is miserable, and then you die. That's all there is, right? Life is miserable, and then you die. So one person said he was, you know, hearing that, but then he started studying Hindu philosophy, and he said their philosophy is life is miserable, and then you die, and you take birth again. That sounds even worse. Yeah, yeah. But that's the impetus. Yeah. So that's the question. How much knowledge do we need? How much application do we need? How is this actually getting me free from suffering and stuff? Yeah. And you realize, I just, this is all useless. I know way too much. You know? I don't need to know anything more. What I need to do is get to work and apply it. One Sufi guy I know, a really nice guy, he said, you don't have to know so much. You just have to apply what you, more important to apply what you do know. Yeah. Maya's knowledge is unlimited, right? Even materially, the material world is unlimited, like that in the sense. You can't, I remember Prabhupada says in one purport, maybe the second canto, there are an unlimited number of material pleasures and nobody can have all of them. So as soon as I read that, it helped me so much. Wow, because I want to have this, I want to have a, you know, 3 scoops of ice cream with 3 different kinds of sauce with this and that, coffee. Yeah. Oh. There's unlimited kinds of material pleasure. Okay, nobody can have all of them, right? Okay, so unlimited knowledge too. Like that. Prabhupada says, no disciple can take everything the spiritual master is offering. Yeah, and also he says, even in 100 years, you cannot read all these books thoroughly. And I was trying to do it. I was trying to read all the books, you know, the Lilamrita and everything, you know, that kind of stuff. Okay, yeah, yeah. He says you should know a little about everything and a lot about one thing. So on, yeah. So we have a general perspective, and then we focus on what we need to know, and changing from time to time. Sometimes you're reciting this and chanting and studying this, and later on you realize, no, you know. I went to Vrindavan, okay, and Vrindavan, there's so many things happening. It's just surrounded by everything there is spiritual. It's like, you know, the temple, the devotees, everything else. Oh, yeah. So then I started chanting Hare Krishna. Because Hare Krishna will, you know, distinguish from Maya and spiritual life. And also it'll distinguish what you're supposed to do within the spiritual atmosphere. Mother Yashoda is giving milk to Krishna, and she hears milk is boiling over. She can't take care of both. They both are very bona fide services. Yeah? Which one do we do? Prabhupada says in the purport, devotee is always being confronted with these choices. You know? And how do you know? He says, if you're sincere, Krishna within the heart will tell you. Okay, and so on. So always you have this information, how much to know the super soul, how much to apply, you know? And then practical things in terms of material, the suffering, everything else like that, and so on. You know? And especially in the age of Kali, the Maha Mantra, like that. So I started chanting Hare Krishna and, you know, asking Krishna, please tell me what to do and what's my service, and, you know, like that. Yeah, you know? I got a parallel mantra while I was there, is this is not for you, like that. Yeah, you know? Because so many things going on. What is, okay, this is not for me. Yeah. You know, yeah. So, you just chant Hare Krishna, you begin to see, like, yeah, how much I should study and develop gyan for Krishna, right? And how much I should just go wash the pots, you know, or go out and confront people on the street and just tell them something, you know. And part of the thing is how will my knowledge be functional in sankirtan, yeah, like that, yeah, yeah. Okay, okay, yes, sir. Okay. 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 1, 2, okay. Yeah. Subal. Subal, when...
Jai Marsh.
Subal, when he... Subal can dress up and look just like Radharani. It's one of his qualities. When he dresses up, they use it a lot of times in the pastimes and stuff. When Subal dresses up, he looks just... He's Krishna's closest friend.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Aspiring to be a...
Huh?
Aspiring to be a follower of Subal. Sakha. Maharaj, Lord Shiva and Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva put himself as an example that someone who doesn't, you know, he's not able to know Krishna, nor Lord Brahma, what to speak of everybody else. And but we also know that they are among the, you know, 12 Mahajans, and they're pure devotees. And the Bhaktiamana Vijanati instruction applies perfectly on them. So we know Lord Brahma with his prayers, the Brahma Sanghita, and Lord Shiva, obviously, just by his prayers, there's fully understood there. We can also see that, okay, these are expressions of humility. However, you know, Prabhupada in the purport also mentioned that not Lord Brahma nor Lord Shiva can understand Krishna. So how do you explain that, you know, I mean?
Well, actually, he's saying here it's even worse, because he says here, bewildered by your illusory energy, you know, okay, yeah. I and the rishis headed by so-and-so, bewildered by your illusory energy, yeah, oh my Lord, yeah, are born of the mode of goodness. Nonetheless, we cannot understand what is this creation. They can't even understand what is the creation, what to speak of talking about Krishna like that and so on. Yeah. I think in some degrees it means that, you know, actually that verse, what is it, Narada Shambhu, what's that verse? Kapilo Muni. Bhishma Drona, first positive start, first word. Huh? Swayambhu Narada Shambhu Kamara Kapilo Muni. Yeah. So it says that we know the confidential path of religion, right? So it doesn't mean that they know everything about Krishna or even about the material nature, but they know the path of which, you know, what's it go with? Savaipum Samparo Dharmo Yato Bhakti Radhoksa Jay Ahoituki Yapati. Yeah, the whole purpose of Dharma for a human being is to come to the point of rendering unmotivated, uninterrupted service. Yeah, so that's what they know, you know, in varying degrees, right? Yeah. But you don't have to know Krishna perfectly. Yeah. Yeah. Again, somebody asked Prabhupada, will the Christians go back to Godhead? And he said, yes, if they're following Jesus Christ's instructions. Well, how will they know Jesus Christ's instructions? Some priest will tell them. Yeah. It doesn't have to be complicated. You know, devotional service is so powerful. You get a basic idea and you do it. Yeah, and then Krishna is in your heart and you know what you should know. Right? Yeah. Okay? Yeah, yeah. So we know the process. Prasadam tastes good. Yes.
Yes. And I have a question about the verse Bhagavad Gita 7:17.
7:17.
Of these, the one who is in full knowledge and who is always engaged in pure devotional service is the best. For I am dear to him and he is dear to me. So in full knowledge, in full knowledge,
yeah,
it's speaking about in this verse.
Okay.
But then
this is the four kinds of people that approach Krishna.
Yeah.
And one is in full knowledge. Boy. Yeah. Many times, Prabhupada's using that in terms of Brahman, Paramatma, and Bhagavan, like that, you know. So in this case, full knowledge means they know, you know, Vasudev, right? Vasudev, you know, Krishna. He's the all-pervasive Lord. The Brahman effulgence, like this, what is the guy? Is Alfred North Whitehead, big philosopher. He said, there is no inevitability as long as there is a willingness to contemplate the present. Like that. I got in this real difficult situation like that. Just calm down and just contemplate what's going on. Every single time you'll, you know, find a way to go ahead like that and so on. So this is like Brahman. You know, Brahman is basically, there is a reality. Now this is kind of, you think, well, of course there is, but a lot of people don't believe that. They have doubts, you know. And especially what do you call these guys? Nihilistic followers of Buddha, so-called followers of Buddha, they say there is no reality, that even Buddha is illusion. If you meet the Buddha on the road, kill him, okay? Because Buddha is it's also illusion, yeah. Well, and so many people like that, and running around, they're not sure, and you know, what do? You drink something or smoke, you know, you forget about it, you know, you just become stupid, you know? Yeah. But then some people come along and they actually believe, no, there is a reality. Yeah, stuff like that. There's always another bus coming. You know, I think they have phrases like that. It's just, yeah, there's something will happen. You and I may die, brother, but the revolution is eternal. Like that. Yeah, yeah. This is Brahman. They've got something. It motivates them. It's higher. Then Paramatma, you begin to see varieties like that and stuff. Is Chicago eternal? Probably not. Yeah. Is masculinity and femininity eternal? Yeah, that is. There's certain things we see. Being a husband or a wife, you can experiment in how these qualities are there and stuff, and begin to appreciate the transcendence and stuff, and how you're involved with this. Yeah. So this is Paramatma. You know, the eternity, our eternal. There is eternal knowledge. Okay. Yeah. And finally, if we apply it, you know, we begin to realize, you know, Krishna. And of course, you know, Mahavishnu, he's the cause of all causes, he's everywhere, right? He's the creator of the universe. That's all they got. Yeah? Yeah? Okay. So this person who's in knowledge, he's come to the level of Bhagavan. You know, from Brahman to Paramatma to Bhagavan. And he knows basically this one, Vasudeva Sarvamiti. He's everywhere. You know? And therefore, he's the controller. Okay, so I should serve him. Yeah, and then they cultivate knowledge for that purpose. Right? Yeah. So more or less, it says they're more or less they are devotees and stuff like that because they understand what's going on. They're not approaching Krishna for this or that or this kind of thing, but they're approaching him because they know who he is, and they're, you know, and they're, therefore they're trying to serve him, who is the oldest, who knows everything, who, you know, like that. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Yes, sir. Back in the back. Yes. Master of the senses.
I like the example of what to know and how much to know. And there's an example given by Srila Prabhupada. Some devotee said, Prabhupada, do you know everything? Do you know everything, Prabhupada? And he says, I know what Krishna wants me to know. So I thought that was kind of conclusive.
Yeah. Also to the same thing, the spiritual master knows everything. It means he knows all the categories and everything else like that, you know? But how many windows there are in the building across the street. Then also, you know, exactly what you're saying, you know your service and stuff like that, you know, sufficiently. Actually, remember Ribhati Nandan Swami?
Pardon me?
Revatinandan Swami.
Yeah.
He said, well, he had a lot of association with Prabhupada. He said, one time he was with Prabhupada and he said, Prabhupada, some of your disciples think that you're conscious of everything that they're doing. That when they're mopping the temple room floor, that you're conscious of that service. Is that true? And he said, Prabhupada said, I am not the Paramatma. He said, when I need to know something about a disciple, Krishna informs me. And usually externally, you get the example, he said, I'm in Mayapur, and I'm wondering how my temple president in San Francisco, Bhaktadas, is doing, like that. And then next morning somebody comes, some same person comes from San Francisco, and Krishna has sent this, like that, and so on.
One example of, there was a devotee here in Chicago, and he went to Vrindavan, and he didn't really have a real service attitude. He told Prabhupada's secretary, he says, tell Prabhupada's secretary I want to speak to him about the Bhavatam. And Prabhupada told his secretary, tell him to wash the floor in the temple room.
Yeah. That's exactly what Bhaktisiddhanta told this big scholar, right? He said, go find the gardener. He understood. After associating with the gardener, he understood, wow, this guy's got it.
Yeah, thank you.
Can we stop here? Stop here. Okay. Shrimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Hare Krishna Mahamantra ki jai. Radhe Jaya Jaya Madhava Dayate.